cliffcentral.com.
Hey, Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
All right, so where do we begin this morning? There's quite a lot to talk about, actually. Friday on the markets, let's start there, maybe?
Yeah, not a great day on Friday. We were down about 0.75%. But for the week, we're still up. The big story on Friday was the Rand. The Rand absolutely in the afternoon took a plummet because there was a story that broke on Bloomberg's that two senior NEC officials had gone to Bloomberg and told them that the president is going to fire ministers who opposed him in 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that story, and it was pretty damning, if we can believe these two people, whoever they may be.
So my question is, why would two senior NEC officials go to Bloomberg anonymously? I don't really understand what the point of doing that is.
I would imagine that there are a lot of people who are just very jittery and nervous. We mustn't forget that this time last year, we'd just come out of the whole Nenegate saga, and there was still a lot of fallout and detritus from that. So I think people are just extremely nervous because our president, just like Donald Trump, is unpredictable and is likely to make very bad decisions for very personal reasons a lot of the time.
But it's this kind of thing that really sends the market into turmoil, because the Rand was trading 13.34. When the story broke, the Rand went straight through to 13.59. I mean, it then settled down to 13.48. But we're now sitting with a much weaker Rand than where we were on Friday. And you know the implications of this, right?
Well, let's go through it again for people who don't know. When the Rand declines against the dollar, what effect does that have for ordinary people?
Well, because we import most of our things, inflation spikes. The potential we have of a weaker Rand and this kind of political wrangling means that we could get downgraded. We still have that on the cards in June. And in fact, S&P do have to make a decision in June. They can either leave us on negative watch, downgrade us, or up. I mean, they can't actually leave us there. They have to upgrade us or downgrade us. So that's what it is, okay? So these implications are huge. And then if the Rand weakens, we borrow a lot of money. The Rand weakens, bonds spike, yields spike, which means cost of borrowing increases and we're paying more in interest, basically. So it's really, I mean, I am expecting a weaker Rand just generally this year, but I really don't want to see it doing this in the matter of minutes. It's an issue. It's huge.
Well, let's also not forget that, you know, some of the time we do look at things like you've often told me about the stock market. You can't have a short-term view of these things. And where the Rand is now is way better than where it was this time last year. But obviously, we don't want it to have a slow and steady decline. We would prefer it to stay stable.
That's right. That's exactly what we want. We want stability. And unfortunately, what happened on Friday with the Rand blowing out, the banks got absolutely pummeled as well. Because that's what happens. You know, their cost of borrow goes up and they make money on the differential between where they borrow and where they lend out.
Right.
Anyway, one of the companies that, I mean, I guess it was impacted by the Rand, but mostly by its own trading update, was Liberty Holdings.
Yeah, what happened with them?
Yeah, they put out a trading statement saying that their earnings per share would be down between 40 and 60% lower this year. The share was down over 10% on Friday. And you know, because Standard Bank has a majority shareholding in Liberty, it's a pretty bad read-through for Standard Bank as well. I mean, just a 10% fall in the Liberty share price is almost a 1% decline in the Standard Bank share price on the sum of the parts valuation. So, you know, with the banks, this kind of thing, we add up. We've spoken about it before with Brett. You add up the different investments that they have, and Liberty, as one of the investments, contributes to their revenue and the share price. And, of course, a 10% decline in Liberty, well, of course, it's going to impact Standard Bank.
That's a pretty dramatic slide, 10%.
Yep, but 40 to 60% down in earnings per share, that is pretty shocking. I mean, it was only in a trading update, so we can't say for sure what caused it. But a lot of people are speculating. I saw some analysts saying that it's management's fault. So I'm not sure why they're saying that. I want to wait and see for Liberty results before I make a call like that, actually.
Now, Liberty's main business is what? Policies and life insurance and that kind of thing.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. Insurance and investments.
Okay. So there's really no reason for them to have that steep a decline in headline earnings per share, right?
No, indeed. Yeah, not like that. Great. Not in one day.
It's not really explicable in any real sense.
Well, we'll wait and see what their explanation for it is when they release their results.
And let's talk about Comair.
Oh, yes. This is one of Henry's favorite stocks. Not mine so much, but on Friday, they did put out a voluntary trading statement saying that the increase in earnings per share was mainly due to the Rand and that it would be over 200% up. Now, hang on, because, there's something in there. There's an anomaly, I should say, in there. And that is that they'd previously written down a 98 million Rand loan, and the translation now means that they've got this huge jump in earnings. So if you strip out this loan write-down, so it's a good thing, their earnings per share is still up 100%, which is phenomenal. Now, Henry loves the share because he thinks that over the next year we could see 18% upside. You know, they've also been awarded a tender by government which is worth R1 billion. He thinks, so why I don't like airline shares is because so much of their expenses is based on the oil price and then the petrol price, and you know that's just been going up and up recently. But actually, Comair has less exposure to the oil price than the other airlines do, which is fine, but then what happens afterwards is my question. And the other problem with Comair is that it's very illiquid. So I think short term you might actually see a nice little bounce in the share, but it's difficult to time these things. And so the debate still rages. I'm not that excited about putting it in our long-term portfolios. I think it's probably not a bad punt if you fancy buying a share that's going to increase over 10% in the next...
I wouldn't waste time on this because we know that airlines' margins are very, very tight as well. I mean, it's a difficult, difficult business to be in. There used to be a time where they would make huge amounts of money, but those days are over. And in many respects, to get into the airline industry, now you'd have to be a madman.
Exactly. I think airlines are one of... I think it's Warren Buffett who absolutely hates airlines, and I don't blame him.
I'm with him.
And also, if you're waiting for government to issue a tender, then maybe that's not such a great thing. Then you want to be wary, right? You just, yeah.
Absolutely. Political, what do they call it again? Exposure.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Politically exposed. In this case, companies are not people.
But, you know, this is another thing that we need to talk about is that new law, which is being, at the moment, it's being put on hold because the president isn't signing it. But many people are talking about how the real reason he's not signing it is actually to do with how the ANC gets its own funding and political parties in general, how they get their funding. So that's an interesting way of looking at things, too, because if it does have to do with where political parties get their money, I think it's about time that the people of this country got to find out who and where and when the people are who are supplying money to political parties.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with disclosure.
I don't understand. There's no reason why that should be kept secret.
Absolutely. I agree. you follow the trail of money. That's what we do.
That's right. That's how you debunk every conspiracy that's ever been. All right, Anthea. Anything else you want to throw in?
Just one last thing. Gareth, US GDP growth came out on Friday, slightly weaker than expected. We were looking for 2.2% for the fourth quarter, came out at 1.9%, which means annual US GDP growth is now sitting at 1.6%. Donald Trump, of course, is targeting 4% annual GDP growth for the US. So we'll see how he's going to go from 1.6 to 4. I mean, his big things obviously are tax cuts, infrastructure spending, renegotiated trade deals, and he's certainly on that trajectory already, right?
Well, what I'm interested in here is what is our GDP at the moment, our GDP percentage?
Well, projected for this year, 0.3%.
Okay, so we would love a 1.9.
Oh, yes, for sure.
And America was targeting, you say, 2 points?
2.2 for that quarter, but their GDP growth in the third quarter was 3.5, so it was quite a big drop. You know, they had a huge slowdown in consumption in the fourth quarter, which was probably an issue.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one too.
Just one message here for you, Anthea, from Louis. He says, Anthea, what happened with African Bank relisting or suspension lift on Wednesday?
So I don't think they're going to relist, as far as I know. They are operating, though, and there are lots of questions about it, because when African Bank went under, what they did with their debt was they ring-fenced a large portion of it. Don't expect it to come to market in a hurry, I don't think.
All right.
Do you know the one of the things we didn't talk about? We'll do this tomorrow. We've had lots of questions about the difference between saving and investing, and the difference in investment strategies. You know, there's growth, value, momentum. Shall we do that tomorrow?
I think so.
All right, super.
Yeah, we're pretty much out of time for this morning, but thank you very much. Anthea Gardner, The Money Shot. And a lot of people are asking also how they can get in touch with Anthea if they want to start their own hashtag invest portfolio. Well, if you do, then I think the best first step is for you to email her, invest@cartesian.co.za. That's invest@cartesian.com. Cliffcentral.com.